The talk I would like to give presents you our experiences, our lessons learned, and our concepts in establishing a service unit for helping our software developers in improving their software processes and their software engineering skills. And to get this in the right context, first some sentences on DLR, because I think that not many people perhaps in this room will know our organization. DLR is a very large research organization focusing on aerospace. We have about 4,400 engineers, scientists, technicians involved in 7 sites distributed over Germany. And they are focusing on different application domains. They are using different platforms, different languages. The projects have different size from 3 developers to 50 developers on one project. So if you just look at this variety of projects and problems, it probably gives you at least an idea how difficult it might be to establish a service center supporting these different kinds of projects. And so when I started 2.5 years ago, top management told me, you are the 3rd trial we are doing to introduce software engineering in DLR, and it will be definitely our last one. And so what I did is first of all, I looked at the concept, at the papers that the people that tried it before myself made, and they were quite good. And so I thought, what probably could be the reason, and I will try to present this to you, and I can say today that probably this is our successful try to introduce software engineering in DLR. I started alone 2.5 years ago. We will be about 20 people mid of this year, and this you have to see in the context that each project leader that wants to have our service has to pay for our service. So it's not a service that is for free, because then it's easy to have much effort on something that you don't have to pay for. First of all, what were the reasons to try to introduce software engineering 3 times in our organization? When you look at science and research on the way to information society, you can, at least for our scientific areas, but I assume for yours as well, see that you have a very big trend from experiment to computer simulation, and that the experiment still is important today, but you at least use a lot of computer programs in advance, you use them in parallel to doing an experiment, and you use computers and software to evaluate the results of experiments. And this led to the effect that the demand for software at DLR increased by, I would say, 10 times in the framework of the last 5 years. The software costs went up even more, the software complexity as well, and the software quality presented more and more problems. And this results in a conclusion that software engineering for at least our science, scientific domain becomes more and more a cross-section technology that is of increasing importance for the efficiency and effectiveness of our research organization. And this was a statement that was not only recognized by our top management, but they had external consulting by Roland Berger, and they evaluated that DLR today produces more than 70% of their results in any form of software. And if you look in parallel at figures from other companies and from aerospace industry, then it really goes like this. That means that the amount of software that is needed, the demand for software, increases rapidly, and that it's difficult to find enough people that are skilled in software engineering and in the application science you want to develop a project. In parallel to this increasing demand for software, the complexity of a single software project rise, as you can see here. That means the large aerospace projects nearly went up in the same manner like did the demand for software. That means that we have more and more software development efforts that are quite beyond 30 to 40 software developers on one project that are distributed over Europe or even over the world. And the lines of code per project, the complexity of a project went up, and thus the quality went down in parallel. If you see this rising of demand and rising of complexity in the framework of a more and more distributed working environment, then it even becomes a bigger problem. So today DLR develops its software distributed over its 7 research centers in cooperation with industry and university, and based on a division between countries with high salaries and countries with low salaries. There is a lot of cooperation with India, for example, and there will be future cooperation with the former Soviet Union countries today. And in this sense, collaboration is very important, and it turned out to be quite difficult to collaborate if everybody works his style, if everybody uses different languages, different methods, different processes. So if you want to collaborate, in particular with industry, and this is a goal of DLR top management, then you need to introduce international software engineering standards, you need to introduce established methods, and you need to at least help to support these methods and standards with some tools. But I name this third point, the tools, on purpose as the last issue, because the problem in software engineering today is that many people start with a tool. And there is a very interesting sentence that I always like to say in this context, that a fool with a tool is still a fool. And so it's quite important that you first have to define what you want to improve before you start to introduce anything. To put this in the right context, I just want to introduce some terms, because my experience in DLR is that it's necessary to define what you are talking about. When I speak of software, I not only mean the source code, but I mean software in the sense that is defined in the ANSI IEEE standard. That means it's a source code plus all procedures, data, everything of information you need to maintain the software, to operate it, to enhance it, to change it. So it's not only source code. And in this context, software engineering is the application of a systematic way and a systematic approach that helps you to develop this software as other application domains develop their cars, their buildings, whatever is developed in other engineering sciences. So software engineering is the application of an engineering approach to the development of software. And this is already very important, because now case only makes sense when you have this software engineering. So case, which is the term for computer-aided software engineering, that's something that is sold on every computer fair and everywhere. And the problem is, or was at least at DLR, that our top management went to a fair, saw very interesting presentations with very colorful slides and colorful demonstrations of tool vendors, But when we introduced it in our projects, it was not as easy to use as with the simple examples you see on any tool fair. And so software engineering has to come first, and then you can introduce computer aid to software engineering. And it's not always today useful to do it. You have really to evaluate the market, and you have to know first what you look for, and then you can define whether it's easier to do it without a tool or to do it with a tool. Another point that is very important and that was not established at DLR before is you have to have a software lifecycle. And it's not so much the war between whether you have a waterfall lifecycle or you have a cyclic lifecycle. I think the major point of our success was that we were very pragmatic and that we looked at each project and that we investigated what's the best solution for a particular project. And so we have projects that follow a standard life cycle based more or less on a waterfall model, but we have increasingly more projects that follow a cyclic approach because time to the end user, it's probably not time to the market in science, but time to deliver something at the end user that's more and more important. Based on these definitions, I would now like to present you our approach, and I will start with the organizational approach first, because that's the key issue. It's not so much having good technical concepts, but as you have probably seen from the panel today morning, it's more or less people, and so you have to think how to introduce these methods, these standards, without sacrificing science, because that's the fear that the scientists have. They are no more free in doing scientific work. But you have to have a vision where you want to go. So the most important thing is you have to be very patient when you want to have success in software engineering introduction, and you have to get people involved. And what we adopted here is a concept from the American Software Engineering Institute that's called Software Process Engineering Group. And that's a concept of establishing a network of people experienced in software engineering and computer science and experienced in the application domain you want to introduce software engineering to. That was very important, but when we started this, we very quickly realized that, first of all, management commitment, and that means management commitment from the top management and management commitment from the middle management, is very important. So be sure when starting such an approach to have this management commitment. But it's not so much meant that management shall enforce the application of rules, because my experience, having worked in a research institute for 8 years now, is that it's much better to convince people that software engineering will help them in their daily work than to enforce any rules that works only for a limited time frame, and then they will just point out that your approach is the wrong one. If they are not convinced, they will find, first of all, they will find workarounds around your rules, and second, they will be able to show you that your rules are not applicable to their work. So management commitment is needed in the form that they don't want you to change everything in 1 year. So they have to be committed to support such a group for a time frame, minimum 3 years, I would say better 5 years. So it's not a short silver bullet you have to just shoot and then everything works fine. But my experience is, at least in science, that our institute leaders, they have chosen to go into science because they want to be free scientists. And so to enforce them via the top management to apply something that was the approach my predecessors did, and this didn't work out. So, First of all, I got this management commitment. We got a time frame of 5 years to build up this service. Second, via these, we really involved middle management and convinced them that there is, of course, a central group in DLR that will discuss the software engineering concepts that should be applied in our organization, but that we need members from all major institutes in this group, and that, of course, there is no goal of getting these people in this group and away from the institutes. That was very big concern of the department heads, that we picked their best people and put them in the centralized group and they lost them. So we really established a network and a small group centralizing all the ideas, generating the vision. But everything we did in close cooperation with the end users, even the tool selection, everything. And what was more or less a side effect of this activity is that the different institutes recognized, oh, we are developing more or less similar things in parallel. So there was a lot of duplication of effort in DLR ongoing at this time. And what was more or less a very good side effect for DLR is that people that joined here to discuss on a programming standard recognized that they are working on quite similar algorithms, and they have introduced a parallel network that's now discussing what are we supposed to develop and to identify things that are needed in several projects and put the effort together and come up with a better solution. So now we have two kinds of networks. These ones are now called application domain working groups. For example, some on HPC simulation software, the other on data archive software. And they are discussing what are our common functionalities and what parts of our different systems can we develop via joint development in order to save resources. And in parallel, we have this network, and in this network, we decide what are the requirements we have to fulfill, and as has already been on one of the slides tomorrow morning, quality is really sticking and fulfilling the requirements of the end user. And so our software engineering standard is a framework, but it is flexible and adaptable to different requirements, to different projects. The second important organizational approach was that this central group, who act more or less as catalysts and consultants, they are not just like consultants that visit a project for one day and then go away, leaving a lot of nice documents and papers and plans and everything. But our approach was that these people from my team are, for the entire life cycle of a project, involved in the team as team members, having a special expertise, but really working from the first project idea till the project goes into the maintenance phase. This first of all ensures that my experts have to develop ideas that are usable. Because when the ideas go into operation, they are still in the project. And if they select something, a method or a tool that doesn't work, they have to cope with this in the later phases of the project. Second point was that, as was told today, you need to form a team. And you have quite different people. You have the early adopters that always say, oh, that's a nice idea. But I agree with the talk from tomorrow morning that the best and most effective people are, in our case as well, very conservative. And so you have really to get a team out of this that's working towards the project goals. And the most important in this context is that you agree on a realistic software engineering approach. And with regard to our projects, our experience was that when we start with an institute doing the project for the first time, and you are on level one of the capability maturity model of SEI, it doesn't make sense to introduce everything. But you have to introduce those methods, tools, standards that help the project in a way that they are afterwards convinced to go on with introducing more defined working styles. And so what we did is the contrary of what was written in any book. We didn't start with introducing analysis and design because we had people that were just thinking in code. They were just sitting using VI, programming Fortran or C or whatever. And when I go through our examples, I will show you that we started with introducing better programming environments, debugging facilities, quality assurance on the source code level. And when this went out successful, then the second step was to say, okay, for the next project, let's start it a little bit different. But that's important, that you really speak with the people, that you collaborate with the people. And our experience is that many projects start with a very well-defined approach, and finally, after half of the project, you realize that you can't go through the entire project using this high standard, and then it goes down to nearly zero. And so what I always do is, it's better to define that you are using 20% of what's the optimum, but you use it through all out the project, than to define a very good project handbook that you can put on the shelf and nobody applies. So that's always what I try to do. You have to look what the people are able to cope with in the framework of a given project, and that mainly depends on the time schedule. If you have a very tight schedule, you probably can't migrate from Fortran to OO. It's not possible. So it's very important that you set your goals very realistic, and that you are, in many projects, pragmatic and say, okay, let's go the next step, and we are not able to make three or two steps, but one step is better than going three steps and then three steps back again. If you are now looking on the technical approach, I've already told you that it's important to start with the definition of what is quality for yourself. You have to define the goal. The next point is you have to define the concept. And then the third point is you have to define which infrastructure will help you. And that was done in this Central Software Process Engineering Group. And for each project, we are now doing a tailoring based on the available know-how in the team, the time schedule, the resources. And the most important is that the approach we define is realistic and is one step or two steps depending on what we can do. To make it usable for our scientists, it was important that they are not willing to go through a programming standard. They don't want to read all these books. They want to have small, usable guides and then learn it on the fly during the project by having one team member of my team joining all the design sessions. And what we introduced was the concept that we combined the techniques, methods, the tools, everything in so-called technology units that were descriptions how to do something in software engineering, which input is needed, which deliverables are coming out of this step. You have already all the templates you need attached to it, and you have a description how to proceed when, for example, doing a unit test of a Fortran component or a C++ object or whatever. So it was ready to use, it was easy to use. And the third point in our technical approach was that we didn't go on this OO versus structured war versus whatever Java, whatever coming up. The development in this context is so fast that you really have to support all the methods, all the standards that are in use at a certain moment in your organization. And the problem with this is that you have to have a critical mass of this support team. And now, probably with about 20 people, we are in the position of having this critical mass, because in DLR we have a lot of legacy systems that are written in Fortran that are structured, but probably not structured as good as it could be. You have object-oriented projects, you have database projects, we have user interface systems which are very complex, and we have a lot of special systems, safety critical embedded software, more and more internet applications. And we have more and more complex projects that involve more than one of these software technology domains. So what we needed was to establish the infrastructure of base technologies like project management, like requirements engineering, configuration management, verification, validation of complex systems. And so we are still, especially with regard to this, in the process of building up and detailing our concepts. Just to present some examples what we generated in the different projects, of course we have already now the first projects that are using analysis and design methods that were those institutes that were the early adopters that started in 1994, first to improve their code, and now they are in the position of doing their new projects with analysis and design. In this case, we used Rumbo, but we are open to support in our organization every method that is required, because DLR is working in close cooperation with industry and other research organizations, and so our projects are not always allowed to use the method they want to, but probably cooperate in a project where a particular method is required. If you're looking at this picture today, it looks very good. You have here the object-oriented analysis and design environment. In this example, it's software through pictures. You have here FrameMaker, and you have, today we are in a position that our designers can click a button and that then a document is automatically generated. But you have to be aware that it took us more than half a year to be able to do this. So case tools, that's our experience, are not plug and play. And that's, especially in research and science, that's a problem, because our scientists don't want to be experts in case tools. They want to focus on their application domain. And that's what we introduced. Ready to use solutions where it takes 1, 2, or 3 days to get at least the infrastructure working. But what you have to solve is that you really have to learn the method, you have to provide training, you have to provide coaching. That's more important. But with regard to OO, I would say if you do a very large OO project, you need tool support. Then we introduced better application development environments. That's an example using Sniff Plus. What you see here, and that was a good way to introduce our programmers into some sort of architectural presentation, is that modern development environments are able at least to generate a lot of architectural information out of the source code. And that was more or less the first point of getting people used, that there is more behind their code than just these lines of code, looking at it on using VI. Then we provided them with analysis tools that were able to analyze the structure of their legacy systems, of their existing codes, with regard to structured programming or with regard to the architecture. And so they got by the time of using these facilities, they got experience that probably a component like this with more than, I can't read it, with more than 49 different passes is probably not easy to test. We provided them, it's just to give you some ideas what we offer today our scientists. We provided them with advanced tools analyzing the quality of software, so they were able to get information on maintenance problems, on major problems with regard to their interface definitions. We provided them with dynamic analysis tools that were able to measure the test coverage, so they got a very good feeling after running 100 tests, probably they just have tested always the same parts of the software. We provided them with dynamic analysis looking for performance bottlenecks. So what you see is we provided them with services that they could easily use, and they could see that software engineering is not just these thick books defining a lot of methods. And this was more or less our key to our projects, to our institutes, because via these tools, they got much more efficient in software development, and then there was left some time to learn analysis and design. Today we have a very distributed software engineering infrastructure. I've told you that DLR is distributed all over Germany, and we are now able to provide distributed teams with a software engineering environment that everybody can access the same data, they can discuss on different design issues. So we are in the process of introducing computer-supported cooperative working, so that for a design meeting you can video conferencing, you can use video conferencing, and you can use whiteboards and discuss a design model, and you don't need to travel all the time. And last but not least, we introduced tools for all levels, because one major point was that our managers didn't use appropriate methods as well. So it's not just with the scientists. If the scientists should work more structured through the way of their projects, the managers should as well. And so we had to cover the entire cycle from management tools like MS Project to uppercase tools like analysis and design tools, onto lowercase tools like development environments, further on to cross lifecycle tools for configuration management, and all these things have to be integrated. And that's one weakness today, that those tools are very, very expensive, are very complex, and there we are still looking for something, probably it will be some intranet technology, because what our project leaders want to have, they want to have a distributed environment where each team member gets one identical view on the tools, on the data describing the project. And so our key success factor in introducing such a case service center is, I think, like anywhere on the market, our scientists want to have a professional service that includes that we understand what they are doing, and they want to have visions. They don't want to struggle with the tools all the time. And last but not least, it's very important to realize that software engineering is not realistic in estimating the feasibility and the effort of a project. No methodology will help. If you don't have a good, motivated, and in a structured manner, and structured not in the context of OO versus structured, but in the meaning of defined, following some defined project, whether it's well-defined or not, it's not so important. But you have to have a good, motivated, and structured working team. This team has to have a basic knowledge of software engineering. I think it was already mentioned in the panel today morning that the basic training in software engineering is important. And then, of course, today's large systems require the use of methods and tools. But that's the basement of success in software development projects. And if you don't comply to this, it does not make sense to introduce anything down here. And to conclude, I want to present you an initiative that, based on this experience, we have won at the European Commission. So these kind of services, at the moment, at least for the scientific community, and at least for Germany, are not something you can buy on the market. And we presented our concept to the European Commission, and they are now funding a project that's called European Facility for Applied Software Technology. And in this framework, we will provide a demonstration center for all Europe where you can get information on example projects, on demonstration projects, so real-world examples of how to use it, not only books, and not only this high glossy awareness brochures of the vendors. You will be able to use a guest laboratory where you can experience the utilization of different methods and tools. And we are in the moment in the process of building up an online demonstration server. And for those of you interested in this, I've put here some flyers, just very quick and brief flyers to introduce this kind of initiative. And yeah, that's, I think, the most important. And I hope it's of use to your community, because at least the discussion today morning has convinced me that the difficulties you face in high energy physics are not so different from the difficulties we face in aerospace. Thank you very much.